I'm Melanie Phillips, and this is Teach Me to Walk in the Light, Episode 5, The Blessing of Work. This podcast is for people who want to learn how to effectively teach, persuade, and lead those within their reach to walk in the light of Christ. I am your host, Melanie Phillips. Hey, welcome to another episode of Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast, helping you teach more effectively at home and in your calling. In each episode, I teach a new gospel principle and I share with you how you can apply it to your life and how to teach it to your family and family home evening. I also share a new teaching tip and hashtag take time for family suggestion each and every week. Thanks to everyone who listens. And please, if you like the podcast, I'd sure appreciate it if you'd give me a review down below. It helps to spread the word. And in the next week or two, I'm going to start picking a review to read on the podcast each week, kind of give you a shout out. And for all those who have left a review and for those who do leave one, now until February 14th, Valentine's Day, you will be automatically entered into my Valentine's drawing of a $75 Amazon gift card. So please leave a review. I love reading them. It helps spread the word and you'll be entered to win. Well, last week's episode, episode 4, Slow and Steady, I shared with you that cute poem about the tortoise and the hare. And we compared it to running faster than we have strength or being diligent and winning the race. And I focused a lot on President Oak's talk, Good, Better, Best. It was a great episode. If you missed it, be sure and go back and listen to episode 4. Today we'll be covering another topic that kind of goes with the theme I've had this month of goal setting, and that is the blessing of work. Now, there's a quote by President Monson that says, quote, "It is not enough to want to make the effort. It's in the doing, not just the thinking, that we accomplish our goals," unquote. Now, hopefully, so far this year, you are totally killing it when it comes to accomplishing your New Year's goal. And perhaps you're starting to realize, like what President Monson said, that it's not enough to want to make the effort, that it's in the actual doing that we accomplish our goals. I mean, if you've started on your new goal, you're probably realizing just how much work really goes into achieving that goal. In a talk entitled The Blessing of Work by Bishop H. David Burton, he said, quote, "Today, many have forgotten the value of work. Some falsely believe that the highest goal in life is to achieve a condition in which one no longer needs to work. President David O. McKay was fond of saying, let us realize that the privilege to work is a gift, that power to work is a blessing, that love of work is success." Unquote. Many times we associate work with earning a paycheck. And yes, that's part of work. But work is not just earning a paycheck. We have been taught in the scriptures and by modern day revelation that it is a spiritual necessity. And it's what you have to do to reach any goal that you want to achieve. Heavenly Father's goal is to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man, but it's also his work. And Heavenly Father has commanded us to work since Adam and Eve, when he instructed them to dress the Garden of Eden. We can read that in Genesis 2:15. And then it was re-emphasized later when they were driven out and the ground was cursed for thy sake. And President David O. McKay once said, quote, "God has blessed us with the privilege of working. When he said, earn thy bread by the sweat of thy brow, he gave us a blessing. Men and women have so accepted it. Too much leisure is dangerous. Work is a divine gift," unquote. And then even in the Ten Commandments, we are instructed, Exodus 29, 6 days shalt thou labor. Today, I want to share with you a few examples of hardworking people and what they had to say about hard work. The first one is, let's see if you can guess. I'm going to play you a little music and see if you can guess who it is. If you guessed Johann Sebastian Bach, the world-famous composer, then you are correct. An interesting fact about him is that although he is perhaps, you know, one of the greatest composers of all time, Bach was actually known during his lifetime primarily as an outstanding organ player. And did you know in his lifetime he wrote 1,128 compositions, not counting 23 that were lost or unfinished? And remember, all of these were written by hand, and some of them are really long. There's one that is almost 3 hours. And you know, Bach had to be very fast. It is estimated that if he started composing by the age of 15, and he died at age 65, that means he wrote 22.56 compositions per year, or it took him 16 days of composing for each one. That is fast, and that is a lot of work. And speaking of his great talent, Bach said, quote, I had to work hard. Anyone who works as hard will get just as far, unquote. Or there's an example given of hard work by David E. Sorensen in a BYU speech, and I love his point of view. He said, quote, every job has its challenges and its days of drudgery. Let me give you an example. Michelangelo, the virtuoso painter and sculptor, shared this profound insight about his work. He said, if people knew how hard I had to work to gain my mastery, it would not seem so wonderful at all. Some of you may have seen firsthand Michelangelo's brilliant work, but how many of us have stopped to think of literally back-breaking, tedious job of chiseling the statue of David out of a single slab of solid marble? And to create a 14-foot statue of David. And certainly David was not Michelangelo's first sculpture. Undoubtedly, he struggled and labored with hundreds and thousands of sculptures before achieving that masterpiece. Wouldn't it be tragic if Michelangelo, after deciding after his first few grueling years of sculpting marble that it was just too hard, too tedious, and too boring, that he'd much rather be a writer? The irony is, had he made that change, he would have likely discovered that writing can be tedious and boring too. You will find more success if you enthusiastically persist in your work despite the shortcomings of your job and despite the daily small and simple things. Unquote. How often do we quit because we find things hard or boring? I have, sadly, several times. I think the lesson many of us need to learn and teach our kids is the lesson of not giving up and to keep working even when it seems hard or boring. Now let me share with you a story about a man who, because of his hard work as a boy, realized if he hadn't worked as hard as he did then, his life would have turned out very differently. And this story is by Elder Uchtdorf, and I'll let you hear the story from him.
Allow me to share with you an experience from my own boyhood. When I was 11 years old, my family had to leave East Germany and begin a new life in West Germany overnight. Until my father could get back into his original profession as a government employee, My parents operated a small laundry business in our little town. I became the laundry delivery boy. To be able to do that effectively, I needed a bicycle to pull the heavy laundry cart. I had always dreamed of owning a nice, sleek, shiny, sporty red bicycle, but there had never been enough money to fulfill this dream. What I got instead was a heavy, ugly, black, sturdy workhorse of a bicycle. I delivered laundry on that bike before and after school for quite a few years. Most of the time, I was not overly excited about the bike, the cart, or my job. Sometimes the cart seemed so heavy and the work so tiring that I thought my lungs would burst, and I often had to stop to catch my breath. Nevertheless, I did my part because I knew we desperately needed the income as a family, and it was my way to contribute. If I had only known back then what I learned many years later, if I had only been able to see the end from the beginning, I would have had a better appreciation of these experiences, and it would have made my job so much easier. Many years later, when I was about to be drafted into the military, I decided to volunteer instead and join the Air Force to become a pilot. I loved flying and thought being a pilot would be my thing. To be accepted for the program, I had to pass a number of tests, including a strict physical exam. The doctors were slightly concerned by the results and did some additional medical tests. Then they announced, "You have scars on your lung, which are an indication of a lung disease in your early teenage years, but obviously, you're fine now." The doctors wondered what kind of treatment I had gone through to heal the disease. Until the day of that examination, I had never known that I had any kind of lung disease. Then it became clear to me that my regular exercise in fresh air as a laundry boy had been a key factor in my healing from this illness. Without the extra effort of pedaling that heavy bicycle day in and day out, pulling the laundry cart up and down the streets of our town, I might never have become a jet fighter pilot and later a 747 airline captain. We don't always know the details of our future. We do not know what lies ahead. We live in a time of uncertainty. We are surrounded by challenges on all sides. Occasionally, discouragement may sneak into our day. Frustration may invite itself into our thinking. Doubt might enter about the value of our work. In these dark moments, Satan whispers in our ears that we will never be able to succeed, that the price isn't worth the effort, and that our small part will never make a difference. He, the father of all lies, will try to prevent us from seeing the end from the beginning.
Hard work is a blessing, both temporally and spiritually. Don't let Satan discourage you. Do not doubt the efforts you are making. Even if they seem small at the time, keep doing your best, keep moving forward, don't give up. Just keep at it and keep the end goal in sight. And you know, whenever possible, put a smile on your face. Like what we've talked about before in a previous episode, know your why. Remember the reason you are doing this, the positive things about the work you are doing, and it just makes everything better. Attitude makes all the difference in the world. You may remember the story of the traveler who passed a stone quarry and saw three men working. He asked each man what he was doing, and each man's answer revealed a different attitude toward the very same job. The first man answered, "I'm cutting stone." The second man replied, "I'm earning 3 gold pieces per day." And the third man smiled and said, "I am helping to build a house of God." The moral of the story being, remember your attitude determines your altitude. Work is a gift. The ability to work is a blessing. And the love of work, as President McKay said, is success. Let's try to remember that as we continue to pursue our awesome New Year's goals this year. Okay, family home evening suggestion. For family home evening suggestion, the song you could sing is the primary song, "When You're Helping, You're Happy," or "Let Us All Press On." And then the scripture, you could share the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden that's found in Genesis chapter 2, pointing out how they were commanded to work by taking care of the garden. And then the scripture where they were cast out of the garden and how when they were driven out and the ground was cursed for thy sake. You know, emphasizing how to work has been a commandment since the very beginning and how one of the Ten Commandments says, 6 days shalt thou labor. That's found in Exodus 20 verse 9. For the lesson, you could share the stories that I've shared with you about Bach or Michelangelo and then share Elder Uchtdorf's story. I have a video clip of his story that I'll link in the show notes. Or there's also a great video put out by Mormon.org about a high school student who excelled at basketball. And in the video, his parents talk about all the hard work that he put forth in order to be as good as he was. Like I said, it's found on Mormon.org, and I'll put a link to it also in my show notes. You can tell any of those stories and or show the basketball video and then discuss how each one of them worked really hard and what blessings or achievements that came because of their hard work. More questions you could ask to start a discussion could be, when was the time you worked hard to accomplish something? Or how did you feel when you were finished? And point out how hard work makes us happy because it makes us feel good about what we accomplish. We can make things nice. We can help others. And you could ask, what if a job is hard or boring? How can you try and make it more enjoyable? And see if what suggestions your family comes up with, whether it be, you know, like singing while you work, or maybe break up the job into smaller parts, focusing on one part at a time. Or thinking about the end result as you're working. And then for a closing song, I'll have 2 links in the show notes. It's for the song "Put Your Shoulder to the Wheel." One is sung by the Tabernacle Choir at Temple Square, and it shows pictures of people working. It's a really nice one. Or there's a second one. It's more of an upbeat version of the song. It's a real fun one. Done by a ward in Ohio. It's super cute and I think you'll enjoy it. So check those out. They'll be linked in the show notes. And for an activity, you could play charades and have kids act out jobs or things that they want to be or could be when they grow up. All right, for the teaching tip today, I wanted to read a quote by Dr. Dan Siegel, author of The Whole Brain Child. He said, quote, "Too often we forget that discipline really means to teach, not to punish. A disciple is a student, not a recipient of behavioral consequences," unquote. You know, before yelling out a punishment to your child when they misbehave, try stopping, counting to 10 or 50 or 100, whatever you need. And remind yourself that as a parent, you are the teacher and your child is the student. And ask yourself, what lesson can I teach my child in this moment? You know, President David O. McKay once said, quote, "No greater responsibility can rest upon any man or woman than to be a teacher of God's children," unquote. Teaching our children the gospel is a sacred calling from Heavenly Father. And I hope that as parents, we keep in mind that teaching them the gospel doesn't just happen during family home evening or family scripture study. Teaching them the gospel can happen and is happening all the time through example, as we spend time together, or even as we discipline. Now, everyone has their different ways of disciplining their children, and I totally respect that. Every child is different. Every parent's different. Every situation is different. And I don't believe that my way of disciplining is any better than your way. But in order to give an example of teaching the gospel when we discipline, I want to share with you an example. One example could be by allowing natural consequences to occur. And this is one way that you can teach the law of the harvest. You know, you reap what you sow, which is taught in Galatians 6. If your child breaks something, help him figure out how he's going to fix it, whether it's fixing it himself or working to earn the money to pay for it. Another example of this is if your younger child resists when it comes to picking up their toys, you know, allow natural consequences to occur, like letting some things get lost or broken. And if your child is always leaving home, forgetting to take his or her lunch, don't run it over to the school. Let them feel the natural consequence of being hungry. Many times, natural consequences have a much greater impact than lecturing your child or getting after them over and over again. And after these natural consequences occur, you know, this is the perfect teaching moment. This is when you can kindly teach them about the law of the harvest. I mean, this is the perfect moment because they can relate and understand the principle you're trying to teach them because they're already feeling all of these feelings that come from the consequence that they've just experienced. So remember, there's no greater responsibility than to teach God's children. Just be mindful of it and just do the best that you can. That's all the Lord asks. Hashtag take time for family. Make a memory, have a teaching moment through conversation. This week, I have another conversation starter for you. Two, actually. They are, one, ask this question to your family. If you had $1 million and you had 30 days to spend it on something other than yourself or your family, what would you spend it on and how? Okay, and question number two, ask your family, if you could be anything you wanted to be, what would you be? Now, ask your family those questions this week and see what they say. What's something new you learn about them that you didn't know before? And if you have a great conversation starter, please email it to me at melanieslibrary@gmail.com. I'd love to hear it. And in the subject line, put hashtag take time for family. And maybe I'll share it here on the podcast. And don't forget, keep taking those family pictures as you spend time with your family and post them on Instagram or Facebook and add the hashtag take time for family. Oh, I so want to overload the social media world with wonderful examples of making time for family. Well, you can find the show notes for today's episode at Melanie's Library. That's www.melanieslibrary.com/teachme5, the number 5. That's www.melanieslibrary.com/teachme5. This is also where you can become a part of the Teach Me to Walk in the Light Family Home Evening email group. Each week, I email the group a simple, easy-to-use outline of the Family Home Evening suggestion that I share on the podcast, making Family Home Evening preparation as simple as possible for you. That is it for today. Thank you so much for listening. And don't forget, if you leave a review or even if you just click the 5 stars down below, you will be automatically entered into my $75 Amazon gift card giveaway. I'll pick a winner on Valentine's Day. If you have already left me a review, then you are already automatically entered. Good luck. Thanks again for all your support, guys. Talk to you soon. Want more teaching helps and gospel-related resources? Be sure and go to Melanie's Library at www.melanieslibrary.com. This is also where you can find the show notes for all the Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast episodes. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for my monthly Finding Joy newsletter that is always packed full of great resources and delivered right to your inbox. Everything you need to be the most effective teacher you can be at home and in your calling. Once again, thanks for listening.